Tell us about the Old Norse group.
Okay. Ed and Vinny came to Cleveland in, I think, 87 from Houston. And my husband was in the English department then, and he came home one day and he said, this new guy, Ed, wants to start some kind of language group. I think it might be Norwegian. And I knew German, so I thought, hey, that might be fun. So in February of 88, I went over to Ed's for the first meeting, and he said, it's going to be Old Norse. It's Old Icelandic, and we are going to translate the sagas. I had a group in Houston that ran for 10 years. Let's see how we can do, whether we can survive. And there were then maybe 12 or 15 of us.
Wow.
So we started with Snorra Edda, with excerpts from the Edda. And we went through Rolf's saga, Kraka. We did the ending of Njál's saga, because Ed said, you need to know a really famous saga. But we did only the ending, where the grandparents and the child burn up in the house at the end. We flew on to Gisli's saga, Gylfaginning, just saga after saga, and then pretty soon we celebrated our 20th anniversary. And I generally made bookmarks for us with coasters, and we all celebrated. Vinny came over one night with champagne, and we celebrated the downfall of the Berlin Wall. And so many things have happened through the years. And then pretty soon, it was 25 years, and the Erbirge saga, Rolf saga, Kraka, 25 years we celebrated. And then on to 30 years. By then, he clearly was having trouble with what we called aphasia. He couldn't speak clearly. He didn't correct us anymore. That was a huge change. He stepped down from being the leader. Brian took over. And he couldn't even read the translation after a while. And I said, Ed, if you can't speak, well, you can at least write. And he said, no, I can't even do that. I can't move from my head to the thing. But the Old Norse group has just been a wonderful source. You know, Ed led us through the years. We started here in this house, of course. And Vinny with her baked goods, always ready. And then through the years, a lot of us began hosting. So he was the inspiration for it. It was a wonderful group. And we're hoping that we can maybe start again. We thought about doing Zoom when COVID hit, and I just couldn't bear the thought that not only could he not speak, but he wouldn't even be in person. But now we're kind of thinking we want to keep it going. But it's all thanks to Ed and Vinny.
Thanks. It's interesting to me that it's funny because I do a lot of technology and media and narrative stuff.
Right.
And I was in a conversation yesterday, and everybody is freaking out because there's a new artificial intelligence thing where you can basically give it a prompt and it will write an essay for you.
Oh my goodness.
And this is like completely destroying the idea of how we teach in higher education.
Right.
And it occurred to me, one of the comments that I made, I said, you know what? This written language stuff, it's going to destroy oral poetry. People are not going to do rhetoric. They're not going to remember anything anymore. We have to change and adapt. But I think it's really interesting that you started, you guys were translating something that was originally an oral tradition.
Yep.
That was then later written down.
Absolutely.
With flaws.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's also the situation of, you know, how many bad movies of good books have you seen, right?
That's for sure.
Flipping the narrative from one media to the other.
Yeah, you don't recognize the book.
So the interesting thing to me is it starts out oral. You're doing written. You have a written document that you were showing me.
Yeah.
And then we're back to recording.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, this is yet another. We have the. We went through a period of time where the only way we could scale communication and knowledge was through the.
Right.
But with digital technology, we have all these other media, and we can explore them in ways, and they're accessible too.
Right.
Because what I'm doing right now would have required a recording studio 20, 30 years ago.
That's right.
And I did that sort of stuff, and it was hard.
Yes,
and there was a small group of people who knew how to do it.
Yeah, and you counted on those people.
And I set this up in a couple of, 15 minutes this afternoon.
It's a great idea.
And, I mean, I'd sort of thought about doing it for a while, but in terms of executing, I've been so busy cleaning this place out.
I bet, yeah. No, so. we had fun. I mean, we had fun just becoming friends.
Right.
But we also went to Iceland. Several of us went to Iceland, did the whole trip, everything. And we would read aloud. And Brian, who I'm sorry is not here, was absolutely suited to Old Icelandic. Mm-hmm. And when your dad couldn't speak, Brian would help out. But he was the one who could read the poetry and help us get through it. So it's just been a wonderful experience.
My dad will still live on.
There's no question he will.
And he did that for so many people in so many different ways. As I wrote in the obituary for David and me, his love of art is something that he gave us. Mm-hmm. And we've both been, we have that mentality. It's informed everything we do.
And music. God, he loved music.
David got more of the music. I mean, I was good at the music thing too, but I didn't have the interest. And I drove him crazy because I never wanted to work at it.
Yeah, well, we learned that you can't guide your children.
I've learned that as a teacher as well as a
dad. Yep.